If you would please join me this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 1. The first several verses of the book provide for our opening theme in this study of a continuation. Where in verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, would you, word by word, verse by verse, thought by thought, guide us in the study this morning. Lift us, dear Heavenly Father, from the routine and the mundane, the mechanical element of religion. And may the Holy Spirit of God indeed fill us, work in us, and outfit us to be effective right up until the minute of our departure. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The late, great Merle Unger said that the book of Acts is a natural sequel to the Gospels, bridging the period between the Gospels and the later epistles. And on display, as we read here, we will see the progress of Christianity from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. What began here in the book of Acts continues to this present day. Acts continues, as Mr. Unger said, the Acts of the risen Lord through the Holy Spirit, in which the Lord describes what Jesus continues to do and to teach through his body, the church, brought into existence at Pentecost, as we will see in Acts 2, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Herein described is the activity of the risen Lord Jesus in heaven, ascended, working through the Holy Spirit on earth. It's a stunning truth. And yet it is clearly relative today of Christ in glory working on earth through the believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so we begin a survey of this book, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 1 hints, for purposes of our study, it hints at a continuation of a cause and a building project. And we read again at verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So consider that for a moment. Before Jesus ascended and before he was crucified, he informed those who were his close followers, out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. I will build my church. At a place in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, with reference to the household of God, this building I would understand to be built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophet Isaiah, for example, wrote in chapter 28 of his great book, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." And the psalmist concurs at Psalm 118, verse 22, further identifies the chief component of this building, of that foundation itself, when he says, the prophet, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner." And when you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, you find that this is none other than the master builder, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What's going on today? Has Christ completed his building project? Is Christ currently active in the building project? There's further commentary supplied. I want you to see with me, please, at Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew 21. Here's what Jesus said. "Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Please note there, with emphasis, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Far beyond a desire to just simply inform you or to instruct you, but to inspire, to call your attention to that work of the Lord being carried on in your life and in mine, in this church and our sister churches, with the intent of this project continuing until He comes again. And again, I remind you, He said to these folks who were listening in, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected," now he's pointing to the Jews, "the same has become head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing." Now add to that something that an apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:9. "We are laborers together with God." And then added to that, "Ye are God's building." Keep in mind, we go back to what he said, "I will build my church." We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building. So what is he building? It is that he builds you. Do you feel like you're being built? Or do you feel like the foundations of your life are eroding, disintegrating, evaporating, sliding off into spiritual irrelevance? And as a matter of fact, We have some, not only the architect and the builder, but we have the apostles, we could call the project foreman. And then underneath that, there are sundry laborers who are specifically called to enter into the building project. For its ongoing construction, Scripture says at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, please note the act of God. God set some in the church. First, apostles. There are no more apostles in the technical sense of the word. First, apostles. You got your Paul, you got your Peter, you got your James. Second, prophets. Prophets. Technically speaking, there are no prophets today in the sense that of a predictive nature of a ministry. The only thing we can predict with certainty is what God has already said. And so I can tell you, I can predict this much, that Jesus is coming. And along with that, I can predict that when he does, you will be snatched from earth into his presence. I can predict that. And the only reason I can predict is because he's already spoken to it. Now there are prophets yet today, not of a predictive nature, but of a proclamation, the kind where after the cloth of A.W. Tozer or a Robert Ketchum or one of these other fellows, A.C. Dixon, who were way ahead of their time in being able to look downrange 50, 60, 75 years. And as you read what they said and observed then, you would almost think that they were contemporaries when you consider how on point they were with their writings and their observations concerning the building of God. First he gave apostles, then he gave prophets, then third he gave teachers. And then at Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, would you look there with me, please? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Please note an act of God. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's not my concern to wrangle over whether or not we read pastors slash teachers or pastors even teachers. Makes no difference. If a pastor is not teaching, he's not pastoring. But note, please, that it is that God, who is the master builder and the architect, gave. He gave. And there are three fours. Four times three. Can I point them out to you? He did not turn them loose to be maverick gunslingers. He did not turn these people loose that they might be independent operators. He did not turn them loose to become leaders and heads of parachurch organizations. But with a narrow focus, three things, three fours. Please notice what it says here in the text. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. That's the first one. For, verse 12, the work of the ministry. And third, verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three fours. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Oh, no, by the way, please notice the bulletin insert. I had it purposely added again this week. Let me read it to you again if you haven't read it already. Because I did change the bottom for a reason. Springing out of our scripture reading in James 1 this morning. Just think. Each of you now, just think. You're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you, made you the person you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing. You believe that. You lack nothing that His grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill His special purpose for this generation. Our prayer, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? We do not read that quotation out of Saul's mouth in Acts 9:6 this way. Lord, what wilt Thou have ye to do? But what wilt Thou have me to do? You're here for a purpose. Here in this section in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the word edify is to build, means to build. Now, we go back to Matthew 16:18. What did Jesus say? I will build my church. Who is this church? You are. I am. Okay? Brick by brick, we are His church. To edify, keep this in mind, we are three things more when you take into consideration edifying. Three things more. We are built to grow. We are built to go. And thirdly, we are built to glorify the God of grace. Those three things. We are built to grow, built to go, built to glorify. To grow in grace, to go with grace, and to glorify the God of grace. Jesus said, I will build my church. Does that sound like it's an absolute? Is there any wiggle room in there for Him stopping His work? Would you conclude then that He's still building His work? Do you hear the jackhammers pounding in your heart? Do you hear the saws and the nails being pounded, so to speak, in your heart? Do you sense the building work of the Holy Spirit? Do we sense the building of Christ through the Spirit in our hearts? And should we? And while we might be getting ahead of ourselves, where is this Holy Spirit anyway? Where is He? Scriptures teach us that He indwells us. Could He be there and we not know it? When He arrived, were you aware that He did? If He left, would you know He went? Jesus said, I will build my church. That would be an ongoing, never ceasing, continuous operation of the omnipotent God of creation. Now, just stop and think about that for a minute. I don't know if I can get my arms around that. This morning at the first hour, we spoke about or addressed the notion of experiential religion, which is simply that if anything is real, I know it's real by my experience. Over against The absolute declaration of what God has said in His Word. Jesus said, I will build my church. The book of Acts, as we understand, as we just look at that first verse, is a continuation of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach through His apostles. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that God set some in the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for three things, at least. Then, at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if you'll look there. You know, one of the things that I find, and I know that probably I'm not the only one like this, but I find a strange, gushy sentimentalism when I drive past or I look at a picture of an old church house. Sometimes they're very stately looking. They were originally constructed with massive stones, and there was they were ornate, very much so. And I find myself strangely moved by that. And I begin to think, I wonder if the walls could speak in that church facility, what those walls would say, having observed what they did during the better times of that church family. And then I'm reminded that some of these places, as lovely as they look from the outside, are all dark within, long since shuttered, closed. No more light. No divine Kincaid around to put a little touch of light in the window to give it a little bit of vitality. So when I look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, again I reminded that Jesus said, I will build my church. Ye also as lively stones. Remember, each one of you a brick or a block in the building construct? As living stones, living, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what reason? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Living stones comports very well with the companion teaching that Paul the Apostle, and by the way, Peter and Paul did not have their heads in collusion, because the Spirit of God is the divine author of what they both wrote. And Peter speaks of stones that are alive. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about living sacrifices acceptable to God. Holy sacrifices. And who is referenced there? What is referenced there? You and me, our bodies, comprise the living sacrifices that God finds acceptable. He's not interested anymore in dead old sacrifices that are offered up in a mechanical way, in a formulistic way, in a ceremonial way. He's no longer interested in that. He's interested in living sacrifices. Further elaboration of these growth indicators. Sacrifices at Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. It would do us well to remember what we read in the 14th verse just preceding this. that here, right here, in Butler, Worthington, Gatanning, Adrian, Red Cloud Road, Elderton, Freeport, Slatelick, here, we have no continuing city. But we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now that's the talk part of it. Talk. Talk. Verbal expression. Then the next verse says, but to do good and to communicate or to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. These are growth indicators. Is God the Spirit pounding away at your heart and mind? Jesus said, I will build my church. Is He building the church? Is He building in your heart? Remember, coinciding with what we read here, verse 16, about doing good, comports with James chapter 2, where the challenge there is, show me thy faith by the works. You do not obtain faith by doing good, but in as much as you have been granted gratis faith, the gift of God, it would then issue in a growing living entity, good works. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The continuation is focused on the Lord's stated cause. The stated cause. And what is His cause? You know, there are a lot of people who champion certain causes. And some of them are very good. Some of them, when entered into, can be used to benefit and bless multitudes of people. But what is or should be the cause that we take up? Jesus said, I will build my church. And He told Pilate these words. Pilate says, are you king? Are you a king then? Are you king of the Jews? The Lord Jesus stated cause of John chapter 18 verse 37 is this. Here's what Jesus said to Pilate. To this end was I born. Now remember how the church will be seen to be born in Acts 2 at Pentecost. Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. His cause ought to be our cause. Some people squander a lifetime spinning around in circles trying to figure out why they're here. You know, looking for life's purpose. Floating from here to here, doing this and doing that, never seeming to settle down on any one thing in particular, but always flitting around like a bug. Not able ever to find a cause for which to stand. Jesus said, for this cause was I born. It is the same thing can be said about the church in which He builds. The church was born for that cause, to take the truth to the world. What is the truth? Remember, Pilate asked that question to Jesus too. He said, what is truth? The fool didn't even know the truth was standing there right at looking at him. Jesus said, I am the truth. For this cause were we born, to take the truth to the world. And note, here's something Jesus also said, so as to specify and identify those of his own when he said this, Jesus said this, the one who's building the church said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone, explicitly, everyone. Which is a follow-up to what he said previously as the great shepherd in John chapter 10 verse 27 when he said, my sheep exclusively, my sheep hear my voice. They show that they are my sheep. They follow me. They follow me. So the work that Jesus began continues with the often called fifth gospel, the book of Acts. What great news. News that grace has been extended to the world through Christ Jesus after his ascension to proceed till he comes again. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 4, noted this of the great Savior, the truth that we proclaim, the person that we convey forward. Behold, he said, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. And so, please understand that out of Acts chapter 1, verse 1, we see a continuation of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We have seen his stated cause. To this end was I born. For this end was the church conceived. That Jesus said that I should bear witness unto the truth. That is a good cause. That is a cause that we can focus on very narrowly and project forward for the rest of our lives. We shall continue our survey in this book in the days ahead. And I trust that you might have the opportunity to read through at least one time, read through the book of Acts in its entirety to familiarize yourself with all that's there as it pertains to the church then and to the church that Jesus is building now. And challenge yourself with this. Can I sense the vibration of the Holy Spirit as He begins and continues His work in me? Can I be that sensitive to the moving of the Spirit in my heart? Our dear Heavenly Father, please help us to glean from your word sufficient to meditate on, to live according to. And then, dear Heavenly Father, quickly act upon any movement of the Spirit in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.